is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Passing of Pope Benedict XVI, and I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. Most importantly, the column Wonderland, observing Pope Benedict as a man for our season and a season of war and threat, and what you'd have to say is an unanswered pandemic. Dan, a very good evening to you. A man for our season. How so? He was Pope between 05 and 13, I believe, and now he's being laid to rest by another Pope. However, at the same time, we reflect back upon his achievements. Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Yes, Pope Benedict the 16th, I think, was a man for our season. He retired, first Pope in 600 years to do that in his mid-80s, and kind of faded a little bit into history. And I'm trying to prevent that from happening because he was a very important figure in the Catholic Church and in the cultural affairs of and the political affairs of our time. And what I'm pointing out is that much of what he dedicated his life to was trying to save the West from secularism, which is to say, save the West from itself. And this tension between secularism and religiosity has been going on for quite a while. We have this debate all the time. But I argue that it has been given much greater importance because of the fact that the West's two greatest adversaries, China and Russia, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, have decided that they have forming an alliance, for sure. They did talk to each other over the holiday, firming up that alliance, and that it is their intention to replace the West's democratic liberal values with their own values. And this is not merely a military or economic exercise. It is indeed one of cultural and spiritual values, of a way of life. And in their view, and both Putin and Xi have said this, they think the West is in moral and psychological decline, that the West has become morally soft, that its populations have become disconnected from their own liberal values, that they won't firmly defend them. And that, in other words, the West is vulnerable and replaceable. And this was Benedict's concern through the whole time he was Pope, and before that when he was the cardinal of the church, Joseph Ratzinger. And Benedict basically wanted a spiritual renewal of the West, not merely for its own sake, but to be act as a ballast against the kind of disintegrating influences of pure secularism. So I'd like to revive Benedict rather than simply let him fade into history, because we, with the West, we are in a battle for our lives. Make no mistake about it. These are two significant powers, and they are absolutely intent on displacing us. And, there is something to the argument about the West becoming flaccid, becoming weak in its essential core values. And Benedict, John, really had a lot to say to us about that subject.
In your column, Dan, you point to an historical event in the 1980s, 70s and 80s. Pope John Paul II enlisted, looked at, and was joined by Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher in the same endeavor against godless communism. How did they do, Dan?
They did very well. This was an ideological struggle, and John Paul succeeded. We know the Soviet Union disintegrated, which, of course, Vladimir Putin regards as the worst event of the last century, but he won. I wrote back then, at the time of John Paul's passing in 2005, that John Paul won the East but lost the West, pretty much for the same reasons I've been describing here, that the West was becoming more and more secular and in some ways weakening itself, its values and its internal ideologies. I said in my piece that the only person similar to Reagan and Thatcher in this respect is Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky, President Zelensky. Zelensky, you know, is not merely fighting for the survival of his country, but he routinely says he's fighting for democracy. He's fighting for the idea of freedom. He's fighting for a defense of the West. And in other words, he is elevating these kind of not so much pedestrian, but physical battles that one has to engage in now, whether it's militarily or economically, to the realm of spiritual importance. And that was Cardinal, that was Pope Benedict's message, that the it wasn't simply a matter of being religious. It wasn't simply a matter of trying to be a good person. It was doing that so that you could have a coherent internal social structure that knew what it believed in and knew why it believed in it and knew that these things were worth defending.
Scientific socialism. You quote Xi Jinping at the 20th National Congress. What is that, John? Is that a euphemism for godless communism? What is he doing?
Well, he's making the idea that a country like China, which he claims is run scientifically, a technocratic elite, is the road to what he called achieving modernization. He said that this Chinese modernization, quote, offers humanity a new choice. Well, by his own admission, that choice, John, involves each individual surrendering to the state a wide array of longstanding freedoms, such as freedom of opinion, freedom of speech, freedom of privacy. You're talking about a surveillance state in China. And Putin essentially believes the same thing, that people give up these centuries-old liberal values and freedoms that have made the West great, allowed it to rise to economic and cultural domination, and I would argue helped us win two world wars. They want to consign all that to the dustbin of history. And what Benedict was trying to argue is that religion can be seen as a force in the service of reason and secularism. I mean, God knows the West is based on rationality and reason, but Benedict's argument is it needs to be buttressed by religious faith. It needs to be buttressed by something that we can grasp and hang on to in our daily lives. And I would like to see that idea revived going forward. And one of the things I suggested, John, was really quite pedestrian. I think the world would be better off if many of us started to go back to church on the weekend and sit there and listen humbly to the reality that we're not number one, we are number two, but nonetheless, we are not alone in the world. I think that is one of the great values of this religious and spiritual life.
And Vladimir Putin, it's your opinion that Vladimir Putin and his lieutenants are looking to undermine our sense of spiritual renewal. Is that it? They're looking actively to do this, Dan?
You know, it's so interesting. Putin purports to be a defender of traditional values, but nonetheless, he's got Russian websites, bots, as it were, feeding cultural decadence into American social media sites all the time. This is what many of our national security specialists worry about TikTok, the Chinese social media site, that it is really a kind of force multiplier of cultural decadence. So their goals are utterly cynical. Their goal is to undermine the West culturally and to displace it. And I think we need the strength of religious life to fight back.
Daniel Henniger, Deputy Editor, Editorial Page of the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Bachelor.